Will the meeting please come to order? This is the meeting of the House Hess Committee. Today is what?
February 4th.
February 4th, thank you. 1985, the hour is 4:34. We have a quorum of the committee. Representative Hurley, Representative Taylor, Co-Chair Kopanen, Representative Thompson, and Representative Hanley, and myself being present. The topic under discussion is House Bill 2, and it is my intent, with the concurrence of the other members of the committee, that this would be the only topic of discussion today. I'd like to welcome the witnesses and take brief testimony, consider any amendments, and I would point out that there are a couple of amendments that are in the correspondence we have. And it looks like a fairly non-controversial bill that we could pass out today if the committee is agreeable. I see we have a representative from Representative Szymanski, the author of the bill. Would you please state your name and position, ma'am?
My name is Paula Terrell. For the record, I work for Representative Szymanski. I'm responsible for the legislation for you. There is a letter of intent, I believe, that you probably all have in your packet that grew up. Basically, the bill is a very straightforward bill. The intent is to provide the child that is being adopted and the parents, that the adopting parents, to have access to the medical records of that child, the medical history of that child. The reason for this legislation is that at one point, a couple of years ago, a constituent of Mike's had a problem where a child that they had adopted did develop a physical problem, which had they known about it prior to the adoption, there were things that they could have done for the child or that would have enabled them to help if they had known about it beforehand. Basically, that's what the bill, the purpose of the legislation is. At this time, it is not mandatory to have that information given out. And it is non-identifying information. It's information that solely gives the medical history or record of the child that's involved. And I have worked with the Division of Vital Statistics with Joan Brooks, who heads that up, and also with the court system to ensure that it was done properly, that the legislation was drawn up properly. And if you have any questions, then I can answer them. I'd be happy to.
Are there questions, Representative Hurley?
I'm not too familiar with this bill. I just, what you're saying, I would hope would be true that if whatever information, you know, that there is, it's for medical records is terribly important for children. I know that there's a lot of information that people who are giving up children don't often want to be given out. And so, but you're saying that is all protected.
This is just specifically medical history or medical records that would be helpful for the child, or for the parents to know. For example, if diabetes were in the family, that's something which a parent would want to know because it is something which can be passed on. There can be a propensity to have that. And so if they knew that the child came from the family where diabetes was in the family, they would know to watch for those signs, and perhaps diet-wise or otherwise to be able to protect the child from it. So,
Representative Taylor.
Have you seen the amendment that's been proposed by Ms. Brooks?
No,
she only asked that we change one or two lines, and it's because... If you just kind of look at the third paragraph there, it gives you the...
Mm-hmm. person authorized by law to place the person for adoption. I think what Joan is saying there, yeah, not all persons placing a person for adoption are required to be authorized by law. Yeah, yeah. That's something that I thought we had changed actually.
We did.
It got back in.
In other words, that would be a friendly amendment that you would,
yeah,
you would be supportive of.
It broadens it actually, because there are some people that are not authorized by law, and so the amendment to the requirement would broaden it.
We've also been asked by Colleen Patrick Riley, a counselor with the Fairbanks Counseling and Adoption Center, to extend the amount of non-identifying information to a longer list. I don't know if you've seen that letter, have you?
He has it in her hands.
Okay, just got it. I was wondering if any of those things were medically necessary for people to have, or if that was something she was concerned about from an emotional point of view. Medically, I can understand.
I think she's going to have to take a minute to read that.
I'm familiar with it, basically. I talked to Mike about this, and his position is that this type of information, while it might be something to pursue elsewhere, in this bill, it is not strictly medical. This information is not medical. It goes beyond
That's
the purview
right.
of medical. And he would rather see the legislation deal with simply the subject of medical history and records. Although there might be a place for this type of information, he didn't feel that it would be in this particular bill.
That's all the questions I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Representative
No, I have no question.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see that Representative Hanley and I have the same question. And that is in the line 11, section 18-5500, access to a doctor. It says upon request. Whose request? Anybody's?
No. Excuse me. That would be the request of the adopting parent.
I think you should say that.
Where are you? Would you? I didn't follow along.
In the bill, first page, line 11.
Okay, it would be upon request of the adoptive parents.
I think it should be very specific. Whose request?
What says it?
It says in the definitions.
Upon request, shall provide the adoptive parents or a person. Every person, or the adopted person.
Upon request.
That's the only two that would,
do you think that's clear enough?
Yeah.
What they're referring to is in line, shall provide the adoptive parents or the adopted person. That would seem to refer, to make it clear whose request. I don't think there'd be any question about that.
It says you're going to just provide the adoptive parents.
My thought is it wouldn't be it. That's pretty clear. I think there were other questions. Representative Hanley.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just looking. We were talking about this counseling recommendations for amendment, and number two says the heritage of the biological parent, ethnic background, race. Talking about medical records, I don't know if that is that appropriate to include that, knowing that some diseases are more prevalent among some members of different ethnic, racial backgrounds. Could that be? Also conceived that was medical, would that be helpful? I think most of this, you know, would be nice information to have, but I can see that it's not particularly, relevant as far as medical records are concerned. I don't know if the heritage, national origin, race, if that went out of parents, is it better to leave that out?
Are you asking the witness?
Yes, I...
Something I really haven't thought of, but I would hope that rather than actually talk of it in terms of national origin, you are right, there are some diseases that are more prevalent among certain people than among others, but perhaps just the disease, although I don't know the answer to that. On the committee.
Representative Hurley, Representative Copeland.
Mr. Chairman, after... Mr. Taylor called this to our attention, and I was reading it. I thought maybe along the line of what Representative Hanley said, but also the fact that it might help in the mental health of a child, some of this information, to know it too, but that doesn't necessarily mean medical records. But I think that there are some points here that they're making that might really be helpful to adoptive parents to have that information.
Representative Tolter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have, I note that we have Ms. Brooks here on the Department of Division of Vital Statistics, and perhaps this line of questioning would be more useful in discussion with her, since it would be her department that would be providing the information, and some of it may depend on the availability. I realize that there are certain things, Tay-Sachs syndrome, Alzheimer's, sickle cell anemia, which are tied to certain ethnic groups, but
sickle cell anemia.
That cannot be determined even from existing medical records. So in that case, why don't we save that question?
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was kind of curious along the same line, and I guess what I want to know is, do children who are adopted have an access to that kind of non-medical information now?
I think, Representative Thompson, well, let's ask Ms. Brooks those kinds of questions. She'll be testifying right now.
Could we ever come up at the same time, Mr. Chairman?
Let me take one witness at the time, but I do have a question for you. Do you have a copy of the bill in front of you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. If you look at the bill, the last page, line 24, section 3, it's a new AS 2523185. It says, the person or agency petitioning for adoption shall obtain from each known biological parent. Being a family lawyer, I know that a lot of times it's impossible to obtain stuff from absent fathers who may not even be known. Would you be willing to accept as a friendly amendment, shall attempt to obtain? Okay. Does that make sense?
If I can answer that somewhere, let me see.
I'm just wondering what you're feeling. Of course, it'll be up to the committee, but that would be my thought.
If available is what
on line 13.
Yeah.
24 says shall attempt.
On the first part of the bill, I thought that was dealt with. This bill was in committee during the last legislature, and so it has been worked, and that question came up. But on page 1, line 13, where it says, it shall provide, the state registrar shall provide the adoptive parents, et cetera, with whatever non-identifying information is available on the medical history. And that was put in for exactly that reason.
So this, what I'm suggesting, would track those amendments.
Yes.
Okay. I will offer that amendment at the appropriate time then. But this language should be the same as the other.
Oh, okay.
It just makes it the same. It makes every section of law identical. Does any committee member have any further questions of this witness? Would you mind sticking around in case more questions come up? Ms. Brooks. Would you please state your name and your organization and position, please?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Joan Brooks. I'm the State Registrar of Vital Statistics with the Department of Health and Social Services. And I'm here in support of House Bill number 2. The department has no objection except, as mentioned previously, to the minor modifications to the bill. I think it will address a number of problems that have arisen in the last few years, not only from adoptive parents, but from adoptees who are anxious to know the medical history. Just speaking to that word shall on line 24 of page 2, I think that one of the intentions there is to put the burden on the person or the agency to make every effort to obtain this information, because if this bill passes, my hands are tied in collecting this information unless I have complete cooperation from the person placing the person for adoption or the agency. If they don't cooperate, I can't get anything from them. So we want to have just a little bit of clout to get these folks to collect it for us.
If I may ask, since it was my question, my concern is I don't want somebody, and I don't know that they would do this, but I don't want somebody saying, we can't let this thing go through, this will be a real problem, because we can't do it. If the language were, shall attempt to, would that give you the sufficient clarity?
Yes, that's why I was agreeing with you before, that I want some way that these folks know that that it's their job. They've not been doing this prior to this, so this is going to be a bit of work for them.
Does that complete your testimony? Representative Hurley, do you have questions? Representative Taylor.
The only question I had was just what you've addressed, and that is, how do we get people to comply with it? Will your department provide forms?
Oh, yes.
Will there be...
That would be no problem, Representative Taylor. We would prepare a form, distribute it. We would start, of course, with the Superior Court clerks, because they're handing out the forms that are necessary, and they deal with the attorneys and the adoption agencies. And I don't think that if this is a matter of law, that we would have any problem getting cooperation from the clerks of court in saying that don't accept the petition unless it's complete. If this is a law, they should require that this information be part of the petition.
Certainly. My concern was that the complete record that we're getting right now is primarily that of the child. It's the child's medical records. Mm-hmm. And to the extent we can find it out, what may be the medical history of the two natural parents.
And relatives, blood relatives.
Okay, but I'm concerned as to what medical records they might have. In other words, don't we lose something that's always been very cherished in this field, and that is anonymity? We get into this process? Okay.
And you also have a situation where you'll have an unwed mother of 16 or 17, and from our experience, they hardly know very much about their parents' illnesses, problems are in them. They might know a few things, but they don't really know very much. So therefore, this bill is written to say that we will attempt to get it. And a little bit of information is better than what we've got right now. We're offering nothing.
Certainly. Part of my concern was if this 16 or 20-year-old or whatever mother has a child in the hospital today, there's nothing there that requires her to do that for herself if she's going to keep the child. So, in essence, we're putting a much greater burden on that adoptive situation than we are in a normal one. I just wonder how effective this is going to be in actuality. I mean, if we're really going to get information for the benefit of the child, which will be of assistance to the practitioner at some later time, and how will it be housed, and where will it be kept, and when the kid needs to go to the hospital, how does the information get to the doctor? It seems to me like there's quite a few things in there that, aside from just filling out some forms and saying, no, my father didn't have these things, and I don't have these things, and shipping it in.
The information will be associated with the sealed file, which houses the report of adoption and the original birth certificate. And if the adoptee or the adoptive parents request it, I will provide it.
Would that request just be informal through you, or would it be as normal? They would have to go through a court to get into that file, wouldn't it?
Our understanding is that if the adoptive parent or the adoptee requests this non-identifying medical information from the state registrar, it will be provided, whatever information is available.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Copeland.
Nice to see you again, by the way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I presume that some of the rarer genetic and other disorders might be listed by the physician on the birth certificate as a case of... just by checking at risk for, which wouldn't not necessarily say that the person definitely has it, but if their ancestry is one or another type, they could be just checked at risk for it. Because otherwise, so it can be discounted. Most people wouldn't have sickle cell anemia unless that be a satisfactory way?
Mm-hmm. Representative Pettyjohn, I'd like the record to note the presence of Representative Pettyjohn. Welcome. Do you have any questions to this witness? No. Representative Thompson.
I again just would like to ask the question that was raised earlier. The extent to which we're comfortable asking for non-medical information, and again, the question about whether such information is, if there's some mechanism for that to be made available to the child, I'm not as concerned about adoptive parents being able to access that information. But if, in fact, as the letter from the Fairbanks agency suggests, the reason is because the child is trying to develop a personality and needs to understand their background as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And, I would have a concern that the child be able to access that information. Is that possible now?
Not now, no. Nothing in under current regulation, an adoptee may have a copy of his or her original birth certificate upon reaching the age of majority. The adoptive parents have no access to it. So we have, maybe 20 to 30 requests a year for that original record, which the Attorney General has determined can be issued as long as it's clearly noted that it is no longer a legal document. And in most cases, that original record, which is just a photocopy of the birth certificate that I have in the sealed file, has very little information on it, especially for the records. Your adoptee, who is now the age of majority, was born in 66, 67. Okay. The records from those days have a little bit of information, such as complications of delivery and birth weight, but very little more. I'm issuing them, and off goes the adoptee, and I never hear from them again. They seem happy to know that there was a mother listed on the certificate.
That they were born.
That they were born, yes. I would not like to see that change, incidentally, because it is working very well.
My next question is that...
It doesn't have the name of the...
My impression is that there are, if that's the case, that probably is the norm, that there are very few states that make that kind of information available to be happy with it, adopted children. If that being the case, what good would it do for us to have such regulations if, in fact, a request across state lines would meet with a non-response because their own state statute refused to release that kind of information?
Well, quite a few states have adoption registries now, and they are providing this information. Alaska at least provides the original record. Other states open up the records immediately, and that I'm concerned because of the protection of the adoptive parents and the biological parents. They both have their rights, but I'm not sure that I quite understand your question. As we do it now, it's working very well. I've had in 8 years, I've not had one unhappy adoptee or biological parent who has come to me. I have had two biological parents who have said, I do not want that information released. Now, under existing regulations, that adoptee has the right to see that certificate. That certificate has a mother's name on it, usually not a father's name. It's possible. There are some children who are adopted where the father is listed on the certificate. We are releasing those, and everyone seems happy. I'm not having any problem with it. So maybe you can tell me exactly.
Okay, so would you then suggest, including the non-medical information, suggest that you're...
The only reason, some of that was discussed last year, and the only concern that I have is that we're going to get to a point where this is going to be so cumbersome that we're going to be doing a biography on this child, and there is a limit to what the court system and the agencies handling adoptions and the attorneys can do. I'm concerned that it's going to be an investigation that will take a lot of time and a great deal of expense. My feeling is that I would like to see this tried and tested, and if it works after a few years of experience, we see that there is a need for more information, we can extend it. But I would hate to see it go too far right now because I just don't know how we can. Mm-hmm.
I would think of it this.
Mr. Chairman, that if we get the door a crack,
health-wise. Yeah, that's a thing.
That's my concern.
25 people.
Where do you draw the line if you start releasing non-medical information?
And to what extent?
Yeah, because a lot of
other questions, Representative Thompson?
No,
Representative Hannah.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just had, I was looking here about a certified copy of the birth certificate. The birth certificate, you say it would include the name of the mother, and then when the adoptee is of legal age, that person can obtain a copy of that birth certificate. So if not before, then he would have the name, or she would have the name of the mother. Mm-hmm. They used to. I don't know. Does the birth certificate give the age of the mother at birth?
The age, not the date of birth. Just the age.
Her age when this child was delivered. Because I thought that was something that was in here. But I thought that was already in the birth certificate.
Yes. That's all on the certificate itself. But I think that in providing this, this would be information that we would be providing to an adoptee who could be 10 or 12 years of age, because it would say the adoptee knows that he or she had a mother. Well, how old was my mother when I was born? 26. That's on the original birth certificate, which that child can't see until he or she is 18. But this non-identifying information would give age, place of birth, race, those kind of things, which may be so bad.
As race would be.
Yes, but we have to keep in mind, as I say, or I sound like a broken record, as Representative Taylor will say, that in vital records, race is what you think you are, and that is true. That has been proven by the National Center of Health Statistics. Really, race is what you think
are. In census, doing some census work, you would ask the person, you'd never put down what you perceive to be the race, but you ask the person. Sometimes the answers are quite surprising.
Before starting the second round of questions on this witness, if any, I have a few questions. In your letter here, Ms. Brooks, the position paper, in paragraph 2, you indicate that this information has not been collected for past adoptions, mainly because the majority of adoptions in Alaska are not handled through agencies. And looking at Representative Szymanski's position paper here, in paragraph 2, he says that the information that the department would be required for those adoptions which have occurred prior to the effective date, the department would now be required to obtain this information if it's available. I don't see language in there that requires the department to go back and, in all adoptions, obtain this information. And wouldn't that require a fiscal note?
We took the position that it would not be necessary because, judging by the adoptions that have already occurred, we don't have that much interest in it. If we do receive a request, our response would be, we will attempt to obtain it. And then we would go, first we'd have to contact the Superior Court where the adoption was granted and find out which attorney or agency handled it, and then reference this new law and say that the adoptive parents are interested in obtaining the following information. If the response is that this is not available, our only recourse would be to say to the adoptee or the adoptive parents that it is not available.
Okay,
we will make the attempt, but our feeling is that it's not going to be available.
I understand this. The language that's in there now does not, from what I can see, require you to do that if it's requested by the bylaw. I guess it does. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're assuming that we withdraw.
Okay, so much for that. Number two, you have asked in your position paper to have two amendments, one on line 18 and one on line 28. Of page 1, and particularly so that we know, because we're going to mark the bill up and get it out of here today, I hope, the phrase authorized by law to place would be stricken and the word placing would be inserted in both of those places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question. It mentions here on page 1, line 15, the term blood relative. That's not defined. The only other place I'm aware of that term being used is in the so-called blood relative statute for the Division of Family and Youth Services, AS 4710-230E and F, which requires the placement of a child with a blood relative before it can be placed while in state custody. Before it can be placed in a foster home. But there they don't define the term blood relative either. Are you aware of any place in the statutes that the term blood relative is defined?
No. We're taking the position that if there are any relatives that can be identified, we would ask for the information, but it is not likely that aunts, uncles, and cousins would be included. It's in our opinion, not likely. Perhaps grandparents. Certainly mother, father, and brothers and sisters, if the information is available, but there again, we're not sure that any of that's going to be available.
You will have, it talks about on forms to be provided by the department.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your position you're going to have to publish some regulations on this subject, and if so, do you need to have any authority to do that, or do you already have a sufficient authority for regs?
We do already have sufficient authority to provide and to prepare, design, and publish any forms needed for the Vital Statistics Act.
And would you, as part of those regs, define blood relative for, so that people would know who they should provide information on?
That'd be fine. Yes, we could do that.
Okay. That's just a suggestion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that there was a statute, and I've been looking in Title 18. I can't find it. You mentioned in answer to Representative Thompson's question about that the child can get, once they're 18, can get a copy of the birth certificate.
That's under the regulation.
Is there any statute on that subject? I thought there was a statute that talked about the information from Vital Stats that could be obtained, and I just looking through it, I couldn't find it now.
Well, I think probably... under 7AAC 05 730, that gives us the authority to release a copy of the original birth record to an adoptee who is of the age of majority, and the authority for that is under 1850 220. Right, and that probably is not going to answer your question because it just talks about
a new birth certificate.
Right.
If that's your only, I don't see anything in there that gives you the authority to do that. It gives you the authority to release the first birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some language in there that gives you that specific authority?
The regulation says in part that all records relating to adoption or legitimation shall be sealed away from any inspection except upon order of the Superior Court, provided that the State Registrar may obtain all or part of such sealed file for inspection by the person whose record it is, if of legal age.
That's my question, whether that last authorization has specific statutory authority. I don't see it in this statute.
Well,
and this isn't directly related to the bill itself, I realize.
Mm-hmm.
But in case this committee deals with a broader issue later, that's something I would appreciate if you could take a look at that and either drop me a line in writing on that, answer that question.
Well, the only thing that I might add, Mr. Chairman, is that under 1850-220, 1852-20-2, it goes a little further there. Under 2, it seals away all of the files. When a new certificate of birth is established, the actual place shall be put on there. Thereafter, the original certificate and the evidence of adoption and or legitimation are not subject to inspection except upon order of the Superior Court or as provided by regulation. And we've always said that, or as provided by regulation, and it allows us, the regulation allows us to provide inspection of the sealed file.
I think that that goes beyond the statute.
You think so?
Yes. And I'm not saying it should,
no.
But at some point we'll keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other questions. Representative Hurley. Thank you.
Does the birth certificate still show the maiden name of the mother?
Yes, always. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know whether it's still there.
Yes, that's to show the link in the family ties. We always have the mother's maiden name. And then there's a provision on the certificate for the signature of the parent, and usually the mother signs. In most cases, the mother signs, and she will usually sign her married name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Taylor.
I was only going to suggest that we might pose a definition for the term blood relative as a living lineal descendant possessing blood.
Other questions? Representative Copeland. Anybody else?
Move it
out. All right. Okay. I hear a motion to move it out. I assume that's a motion to make up for it.
What about
thank
the
you.
Amendments?
Well, yes. So this is a motion. I think we have to have a motion to consider the bill. I assume that's a motion to consider the bill, right?
Absolutely.
No.
Okay. Now, we can consider amendments.
I move the amendments.
I move the amendments as presented by...
Okay, so I'm assuming that we have three amendments here. Line 18, the term placing is in place of authorized by law to place. In line 28, the same. And on the second page, line 24, shall attempt to obtain. Does anybody have any problem with any of those amendments, or is it any objection?
No.
Okay, is there a motion to pass the bill out?
Mr. Chairman, I move we pass the bill out of the as
amended.
You wish
amended.
As amended. Do you wish to say with a due pass recommendation, which would make it unanimous?
So be it.
With a due pass recommendation to make it unanimous. Is
forsooth,
there any objection?
Forsooth.
Okay. So, done. Is there any other business today? Great. We're adjourned.
Oh.
You're so efficient.